All right, so get ready, because today we are taking a deep dive into a story that'll make you really think about love and perception and just all the complicated ways that people connect with each other. We're going to be looking at a story that happened at a really prestigious music school, you know, one of those places that's full of super talented and ambitious people, this complicated romance between two students that ended with accusations of stalking and harassment.
Yeah, and what I think makes this deep dive especially interesting is that we're seeing things from the perspective of someone close to the woman in this story.
So it's like we're trying to solve a puzzle, right? But only seeing it from one angle. So it's her truth, her experience, and we need to be really mindful of that as we piece things together.
It's like we're getting a single perspective on a multifaceted story. Missing his voice, his side of the events.
Right.
So while we'll be exploring her experience and validating her feelings, we also have to acknowledge that there's another side to the story that we simply don't have access to.
Yeah, and it really makes you think about, you know, how often do we only get one side of the story?
Right.
And how does that shape our understanding of what really happened?
All the time, right? I mean, think about all the stories we hear and how much is influenced by who's telling it.
Right. And the story begins, well, picture it. Prestigious music school, early 2023, all those practice rooms and concerts and all that. And right in the middle of all that, we got a whirlwind romance, classic stuff like, you know, holding hands, little touches, sharing an umbrella when it rains, even real, like movie type romance.
Just that like feeling of finding a kindred spirit. But of course, like in any good drama, there's got to be some tension, right? And from what we've gathered, their personalities, well, they were pretty different.
Yeah, let's dive into that dynamic. From what we gather, the PhD student might have had what's called an anxious attachment style.
Okay.
So think a deep craving for closeness.
Right.
A fear of abandonment and a tendency to come on strong in relationships.
And we have to be cautious here, right?
Yeah.
We're speculating based on observations from people around them.
Yeah.
We don't have his confirmation or any direct insight into his internal world.
And on the flip side, we have the master's student who seems to fit the description of avoidant attachment.
Okay.
Now, again, we're basing this on her friends' accounts of her behavior and how she navigated the relationship. It seems she valued her independence, felt uncomfortable with too much closeness, and tended to withdraw when things got intense. I imagine that created quite a bit of friction, especially in those early stages.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
The sources describe a lot of hurt and confusion from her side.
Yeah.
He struggled with commitment early on, creating this on-again, off-again pattern that left her feeling emotionally whiplashed.
It's like he was sending mixed signals.
Exactly. Okay. One moment he's showering her with affection, the next he's distant and withdrawn. And that inconsistency would be especially difficult for someone with an avoidant attachment style who already has trouble trusting and letting people in.
So she never really knew where she stood with him? No wonder she started to question his sincerity and feel emotionally unsafe. And remember, this is all happening within the backdrop of a demanding and competitive music school environment. I can only imagine the pressure they were both under, which probably amplified these underlying anxieties.
It's like a pressure cooker of emotions.
Yeah.
And then we have another layer of complexity that might have been contributing to his unpredictable behavior. ADHD. Again, we don't have a diagnosis, but sources close to her suggested he might have ADHD.
Okay, let's unpack this, because ADHD can definitely add another dimension to the story.
Right.
We know it can manifest in impulsivity, difficulty regulating emotions, and sometimes even hyper-focus on certain things.
Right. So his actions, even if well-intentioned, might have been perceived as overwhelming or inconsistent, especially by someone who values space and predictability. His communication style, for example, seems to have been all over the place.
Yeah.
The sources describe his messages as a mixture of heartfelt expressions of affection and then these deep analytical dives into their relationship.
Deep dives? Like what?
Well, he even brought up attachment theory, which completely backfired.
Oh, no. Not attachment theory as a dating strategy. Especially if she was already feeling analyzed and labeled. It's like he was trying to diagnose her instead of simply listening and understanding her perspective.
It seems that way. And keep in mind, we're hearing this through her friend's lens, so there's bound to be some interpretation and possibly even exaggeration. But it does highlight the communication challenges they were facing.
So we have this combination of anxious attachment, avoidant attachment, and possibly ADHD, creating this perfect storm of miscommunication and hurt feelings.
Yeah.
It's like they were speaking different love languages and neither one had the dictionary to translate.
And then in early 2024, a significant event throws another wrench into their already complicated dynamic. His mother becomes critically ill. We left off with the PhD student facing a life-altering event, his mother's critical illness. And according to those close to the master's student, this seemed to trigger a major shift in his perspective, especially regarding their relationship.
So it's early 2024, and he's suddenly confronted with his own mortality, with the fragility of life.
Right.
I imagine that kind of experience can really shake you to your core and make you reevaluate your priorities.
Exactly. The sources suggest this is when he realized the depth of his feelings for her.
Yeah.
It's like he suddenly woke up and saw what he was about to lose. He wanted commitment. He wanted a future with her, all the things he'd struggled with before.
It's that classic, you don't know what you've got till it's gone scenario.
Yeah.
But by then, she was already moving on emotionally, right? The trust had been damaged. The hurt was too deep.
It seems so. She'd tried to make it work, but his inconsistent behavior had taken its toll. Remember, with her avoidant attachment style, any perceived threat to her independence or emotional safety would send her running for the hills. And his sudden intensity, while possibly genuine, likely felt overwhelming and suffocating.
So even though he had this epiphany, this desire to make amends and commit, she wasn't buying it.
Right.
She'd been hurt too many times before, and her self-protection mechanisms were in full force.
The sources describe his attempts to reconnect as almost desperate. Apologies, grand gestures, declarations of love, it was all there. But for someone with an avoidant attachment style, that kind of intensity can be a major turnoff.
Right.
It reinforces those fears of engulfment and loss of control.
So what does she do?
She blocks him on social media.
It's heartbreaking to think about him needing her, reaching out for comfort and connection, and being met with rejection, especially during such a vulnerable time.
It really is. It reminds us that sometimes love just doesn't align, and that people's needs and timelines don't always match up perfectly.
And their story just gets even more complicated after his mother's illness. There are all these encounters that, from his perspective, seemed like signs from the universe, like fate bringing them back together. But she, with all her anxieties and past experiences, saw them as something way more unsettling.
It's amazing how perception can be so different. He was driven by his desire to be with her and probably some romantic idealism, so he saw their meetings as destiny intervening.
And she just saw something completely different.
Totally. Think about it from her perspective. She's already dealing with her own issues, maybe depression, maybe trauma from past relationships, and then he keeps showing up everywhere, seemingly out of nowhere.
Yeah, I could see how that would be unsettling.
Yeah.
So how did these encounters actually start?
It began with a couple of chance meetings on campus. You can just imagine the tension, all those unspoken emotions. Each time they bumped into each other, it added another layer to their already complicated dynamic.
Awkward. And then something happens that's almost too crazy to believe. They run into each other at a Turkish airport, totally unexpectedly.
Can you believe that? What are the chances? It's like something out of a movie. And for him, it just solidified his belief that they were meant to be together, that some unseen force was orchestrating it all.
But for her, already struggling with anxiety and past trauma, it was probably terrifying.
Oh, absolutely. It was likely confirmation of her worst fears, that he was intentionally following her, that her attempts to get away from him were failing.
So each of these encounters is being filtered through their individual lenses of past experiences and anxieties.
And on top of that, her friends were also weighing in. They had seen what had happened before and were worried about her. So they voiced their concerns, validating her fears and making her think that his actions were deliberate and creepy.
It sounds like her friends' opinions really had a strong influence on her perspective.
And this is where things get really murky. It's important to remember that we're only hearing her side of the story, her interpretation of these encounters. Her friends, who are aware of their past and protective of her, start noticing patterns, interpreting his presence as deliberate attempts to track her movements.
It's starting to feel like a psychological thriller.
There's definitely a sense of suspense and uncertainty, but it's crucial to acknowledge that without his perspective, we're relying solely on her perception of events and the interpretations of those close to her.
So it's her reality versus what might have been unintentional encounter.
Precisely. And this is where the complexities of human perception come into play. We all see the world through the lens of our own experiences, our fears, our biases. And in her case, her past trauma and her avoidant tendencies likely heightened her sensitivity to feeling trapped or pursued.
It makes you wonder how often we misinterpret situations based on our own anxieties.
Absolutely. And this is a key takeaway from this story. Our perceptions are powerful. They shape our reality and influence how we interact with the world. Imagine you're feeling incredibly anxious and desperate to connect with someone you care about. Now add in the impulsivity that often comes with ADHD. It's a recipe for actions that might be misinterpreted as obsessive or even stalkerish.
So he might have been acting on impulse, driven by his anxieties and his need for reassurance, without fully understanding the impact of his actions on her.
Exactly. And this is why it's so important to consider the whole picture. When we're dealing with complex human behavior, there's rarely a simple explanation. It's about understanding the interplay of personality disorders, neurodiversity, and situational factors.
It's a reminder that sometimes what looks like malicious intent might actually be a manifestation of a neurological condition or a desperate attempt to cope with overwhelming emotions.
Precisely. And in this case, it's crucial to acknowledge that the PhD student was dealing with a lot. He was facing the potential loss of his mother, grappling with his ADHD, and struggling to navigate a relationship with someone who had very different emotional needs.
It sounds like a perfect storm of challenges.
It certainly was. And as we'll see, this confluence of factors will play a significant role in the events that unfold next.
All right, so we've got these two individuals struggling to communicate effectively. Their relationship is strained by their conflicting attachment styles, and then life throws a wrench in the works with his mother's illness and his ADHD.
And this is where things start to get really messy.
Yeah.
It's a few months later, summer 2024, and they both end up participating in a summer opera project.
Wait, what? How does that happen? Yeah. After she blocked him and everything?
Well, it seems he was the one who suggested her for the project.
He suggested her, even after she'd pushed him away. That's either incredibly generous or a major red flag, depending on how you look at it.
Right. It's open to interpretation. From his perspective, it might have been a genuine act of admiration for her talent, maybe even a subconscious attempt to reconnect. But from her perspective, it could have felt like a manipulation, a way to force his way back into her life.
So they're thrown together in this intense creative environment.
Yes.
Long rehearsals, late nights, undeniable chemistry, like a recipe for disaster, or maybe a second chance.
Right.
Depending on how things unfold. What happens next?
They fall back into old patterns. The sources describe stolen kisses, intimate moments, a rekindled flame that burns bright, if only for a short time.
Okay.
It seems they couldn't resist the pull of their connection, the shared passion for music, the intensity of the project.
But remember, we're still only hearing her side of the story.
Of course.
We don't know what was going on in his head, how he was interpreting their interactions.
That's crucial to remember. But even with that caveat, the sources suggest she genuinely enjoyed his company during this period. She felt a connection, a spark, even admitted to having lingering feelings for him.
So it wasn't just physical attraction. There was a real emotional component to their rekindled romance.
It seems so. But remember, we're talking about someone who might have avoidant attachment and some trauma in her past. So that doesn't just disappear, right? So it's this inner battle for her. She enjoys his company, feels the connection, but the doubts and the anxieties, they're still there.
Head versus heart, you know. Her head's saying, run, but her heart. Well, her heart wants that connection.
And then, of course, there's the friends. They're not so sure about this whole thing. They see his persistence as a bad sign, maybe even an obsession, not true love, and that just adds to her confusion.
It's a mess, isn't it? Love's back, but so are all the doubts, the anxieties, the friends' warnings. Just like a real drama keeps you wondering what's going to happen next. So even while she was enjoying his company, a part of her was already bracing for the inevitable crash.
Yes.
The moment she'd have to pull away to protect herself.
Exactly. And that moment comes when the summer project ends.
The magic fades, reality sets in, and her instinct is to retreat.
She asks for space, tries to create some distance, but for him, this withdrawal is a trigger.
Right.
His fears of abandonment resurface, and his attempts to reconnect become more intense, more persistent.
And we have to be really careful here, right?
Yeah.
Because we're entering a territory where perceptions and interpretations become paramount. What she might have experienced as harassment or stalking, he might have perceived as simply trying to win her back, to express his love and concern.
Absolutely. And this is where the cultural differences might have come into play, further complicating their communication.
Okay.
The sources mention that he showered her with gifts, which in his culture was a normal expression of affection and courtship. Mm-hmm. But for her, it felt controlling and manipulative, like he was trying to buy her affection or create a sense of obligation.
It's a classic example of how cultural norms can clash, especially in the context of romantic relationships.
Right.
What he intended as grand gestures of love, she interpreted as attempts to control and possess her.
And remember, his possible ADHD might have also played a role in how he communicated his feelings. His messages might have been intense, overwhelming, lacking the sensitivity and awareness that she craved.
So we have this escalating tension, this growing divide between his need for closeness and her need for space. And all of this is happening against the backdrop of her friends' concerns, their warnings about his behavior, which likely amplified her anxieties and reinforced her fears.
It's like everyone around her is validating her fears, confirming her suspicions that he's not safe, that his actions are a threat. And this ultimately leads to a pivotal moment in their story, the filing of a formal complaint.
We ended last time with the master's student filing a formal complaint, a decision that must have been incredibly difficult and emotionally draining.
It signifies a point of no return in their relationship, a clear message that she felt unsafe and that his actions, regardless of his intent, had crossed a line.
And it's important to reiterate that we don't have access to the specifics of the complaint or the investigation that followed.
Right.
We're missing a crucial piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
But we can explore the potential fallout from such a situation, the impact it would have had on both of their lives.
For her, filing that complaint was likely a validation of her fears, a way to reclaim her sense of agency and safety. But it probably also came with a lot of stress and anxiety.
Oh, absolutely.
Imagine navigating a formal investigation, potentially facing scrutiny and judgment from peers and faculty. It's a heavy burden to carry.
Absolutely. And even with a supportive network of friends, it must have been incredibly isolating.
Right.
She's dealing with the emotional fallout of the relationship, the fear and anxiety triggered by his actions, and now the pressure of this formal process.
Yeah.
It's a lot to handle.
And on his side, the consequences could be significant, even if the investigation didn't lead to any formal disciplinary action. The accusations themselves, the damage to his reputation, the potential impact on his future career prospects. It's a lot to grapple with.
It's a stark reminder of how quickly things can escalate, how a love story can turn into a legal battle with far-reaching consequences.
Yeah.
So we're back. Last time we kind of set the scene for this whole relationship, right? The different personalities, the past stuff they were carrying, that undeniable chemistry, all that. So now what I'm thinking is, let's try to step back a little, put on our analyst hats, and look at those key moments where maybe things could have gone a different way.
Like rewinding the movie, seeing how things might have played out with a few different choices. What if they had really understood themselves, each other, all that? Could they have bridged that gap between like their different emotional styles?
I think that's the million-dollar question, right? Let's talk about those attachment styles we mentioned. The PhD student, probably with his anxious attachment, well, he might have seen her need for space as like a personal rejection. You know, all those messages, the gifts, trying to show love, but it could have felt, I don't know, suffocating to someone who values independence like she does.
He's trying to fill something inside himself, I guess, needing that constant reassurance, you know, validation from her. And she just wanted to breathe.
Totally. And then she possibly avoided attachment from all that past trauma. She's seeing his persistence as intrusive, controlling even, just pushing her further away.
So his idea of a grand romantic gesture, to her it's a red flag, confirms all her fears about intimacy, commitment, that whole thing.
Now imagine if he had recognized that, you know, that her needing space wasn't about him, it was about her, her coping mechanisms, her past. Maybe he learns to give her that breathing room, adjust how he communicates.
And what if she understood his side a little better? That persistence. Maybe it's coming from a fear of being abandoned, which is classic anxious attachment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she figures out how to reassure him without feeling trapped.
Communication, right. That's the key to unlocking all that. If they could have had those tough conversations early on, set some boundaries, expectations, maybe they could have worked through all that with a little more, you know, empathy, understanding.
But communication, it takes two. You got to be willing to speak up, but also really listen to the other person, get where they're coming from. And that's where maybe his ADHD could have been a factor.
Oh, absolutely. ADHD, it can make it hard to, you know, manage those emotions, stay focused, read those subtle social cues, think about trying to understand her with all her avoidant tendencies when your mind's working like that.
So not only are their attachment styles clashing, but now you throw in a neurological difference. It's like a recipe for miscommunication and hurt feelings, no matter how hard they try.
Totally frustrating for both of them, I bet. He wants to show love, but can't do it in a way that feels safe for her. And she's misreading his intentions because his behavior seems erratic, and that just feeds her anxieties.
A vicious cycle, isn't it? Past trauma, maybe some neurological differences, and they just keep misunderstanding each other, getting hurt in the process.
And then don't forget, there's the whole cultural background thing too. We heard hints about different norms when it comes to like showing affection, giving gifts, what he thinks is romantic, you know, those expensive presents, that surprise trip to Paris. To her, it might feel overwhelming, even controlling.
Different languages, literally and figuratively. his actions, seen through his culture, mean something totally different to her in her culture.
And that just feeds her anxieties more, especially with everything else going on and what her friends are telling her.
Those friends, I mean, they're just trying to protect her, right? But maybe they're not seeing the whole picture, just focusing on that persistence as a bad thing, not realizing the cultural differences, his own anxieties.
It's a good reminder, isn't it? Sometimes the people closest to us, even when they're trying to help, they can accidentally make things more confusing, make it harder to see things clearly.
So we got this whole mix, right? Attachment styles that don't mesh, maybe a neurological difference in there, cultural clashes, well-meaning friends adding to the chaos. No wonder things went off the rails.
But could they have salvaged it? Could it have worked? That's what we're going to look at in the last part of our deep dive. Stick with us as we explore the fallout from all this and think about what we can all learn.
All right, welcome back. So far, we've really gone deep into this relationship, you know, all the what ifs and those missed chances for them to actually understand each other. But it's like one of those mysteries, right? We're still missing some pieces. Some parts are still kind of blurry.
Right. And let's not forget, everything we're talking about is based on what people close to the master's student have said. We haven't heard the PhD student side, you know? What he was thinking, what he was going through, that part's still a mystery.
Like a play where only one character gets to talk. And yeah, people close to her, they talk about fear, about harassment. But without hearing from him, we can't just label him the bad guy, you know? Or let's say it all boils down to some diagnosis.
Exactly. We just don't know for sure what his intentions were.
As we wrap up this exploration of a love story that took so many unexpected turns, it's hard not to feel, well, a whole mix of emotions. Sadness, confusion, maybe even a little frustration.
It definitely stays with you, doesn't it? It makes you think about love and fate and how complicated human connection can be. We've seen their passionate beginnings, the struggles they faced because of their different attachment styles, and ultimately the breakdown in communication that led to such a painful ending.
It really shows how even the strongest love can be so fragile, especially when it's up against misunderstandings and past hurts.
And now we come to the hardest part, the part where we try to answer the question, could they have made it work, or were they just fundamentally incompatible?
Looking back at everything we know, it's clear that both the PhD student and the master's student were good people. They were smart, kind, and they genuinely cared about each other. They had a real connection, and it was built on shared passions, intellectual stimulation, and a strong emotional bond.
It's true. From what we can gather, they had the potential for a really beautiful, fulfilling relationship under different circumstances. They were attracted to each other in so many ways. And those moments of joy and connection they shared were real and powerful.
But as we've seen, their individual challenges, his potential ADHD, her past trauma, those contrasting attachment styles, it created a dynamic that was, well, pretty shaky from the start.
It's like they were trying to dance on a floor covered in obstacles. Every step forward came with the risk of missteps and misunderstandings that just amplified their anxieties and chipped away at the trust they were trying to build.
And remember, for him, all those encounters after his mom's illness, they felt like signs from the universe, like destiny was pushing them back together. He saw some grand plan at work.
But for her, those same encounters were a violation, proof that her fears were justified. She saw a pattern of him pursuing her, not respecting her boundaries. And her friend's concerns only made those feelings stronger.
It's amazing how two people can experience the same events so differently, all because of their individual baggage and anxieties.
What felt like fate to him felt like stalking to her. And his attempts at grand romantic gestures, the gifts, the messages, even trying to explain things through the lens of attachment theory, it all just felt controlling to her, like he couldn't let go.
It's heartbreaking to think about all the missed opportunities for honest, open communication. If they could have just truly listened to each other's fears, validated each other's experiences without judgment, maybe they could have bridged that gap that kept growing between them.
What if they had tried couples therapy, something specifically focused on attachment styles and trauma? Maybe that could have helped them untangle their communication patterns and create a more secure foundation for their relationship.
It's impossible to know for sure.
Yeah.
But their story really underscores the importance of communication, empathy, and self-awareness in any relationship, especially one that's facing these kinds of challenges.
Love is powerful. But it's not always enough. It needs to be nurtured, understood, and both people need to be willing to face their vulnerabilities and see how they impact the relationship.
So, after diving deep into this love story that didn't have a happy ending, what's the takeaway? What do we learn from their experience?
Maybe it's a reminder to be more intentional in our own relationships, to communicate openly and honestly, to try to understand instead of judge, and to remember that even the best intentions can be misconstrued, especially if someone's carrying past hurts and anxieties.
It's also a reminder that the most beautiful connections aren't always built on grand gestures or chance encounters. Sometimes it's about those quiet moments of truly listening to and understanding someone's heart.
And as we close this chapter on their story, let's acknowledge all the complexities, the pain and the love, the missed opportunities and the misunderstandings. May their journey inspire us to be more mindful in our own lives, to cherish our connections, and to approach love with both passion and wisdom.
That's a beautiful thought. And with that, we come to the end of another deep dive. Thank you for joining us on this journey. Until next time, stay curious.